Pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
The two-minute drill. You guys been football very long. You understand what the two-minute drill is. That's when it's almost halftime. You're going to try to get down the field to score a touchdown or a field goal. We just did the two-minute drill here at Coach Dave Live. I'm sitting in McDonald's parking lot somewhere in the hills of West Virginia. I think I'm West Virginia because they got about four teeth. Every place I look, people got them. Just kidding. But I couldn't get my phone to work. Johnny on the spot. Jared did a miraculous job of getting me logged in here. And here we are, Coach Dave, live. I'm on my way to Georgia. Left early this morning. I was hoping I'd be able to get down here close someplace where I could find some free internet, McDonald's. Thank God for McDonald's. I'll buy a cup of coffee before I leave. And the two-minute drill works. Hey, listen. Don't send me anymore. Don't send me any more emails about I get too emotional and I yell too much. Don't send me any more of those, okay? Watch somebody else. Watch Robert Jeffress. Go watch him. Go watch Tony Perkins. You come here, we yell, okay? That's just part of the gig. We yell here. Hey, did y'all get your cards out to Bill Barr? Get those out. Get them in the mail yesterday.
Yep. Got mine out to Christine, you mean?
Christine Barr. I'm sorry. Listen, folks, as I spoke about that yesterday, I think it's of the Lord, man. And I don't know. I'm not going to claim. I don't like to claim credit. Okay. I'm not claiming credit. But everybody's been screaming and hollering over the last, I don't know, couple, three, 4 days. Where's Bill Barr? Hey, anybody seen Bill Barr? I'm yelling again. Is that all right? Hey, where's Bill Barr? Where's Bill Barr? Did anybody notice Bill Barr stood up yesterday? Anybody notice that besides me? Anybody notice that Bill Barr gave the go-ahead to start a Department of Justice investigation into, what? Send those cards, baby. Send those cards. See, listen, I'm going to tell you something. It has been my experience at all my coaching ever. Folks, listen to me. Games are won by the smallest of things. A football game is won by sometimes people sitting in the stands are watching the game and they're watching it on TV and they watch the replays and all those things that go along with it. And I'm going to tell you that when the play is run, usually there was a very small, intricate block or play or something that happened in the midst of that play that nobody noticed. Nobody noticed it except the coach who's watched the film says, oh, my goodness, look how he chip blocked him. Now, you see, you guys don't even know what it means to chip block. Don't even mean. But the chip block means to do this. It means you hit a guy and then you drive your feet and then you come off and you hit another guy. That's called chip blocking. And you don't even see it. And you don't even notice that it happened. And the guy gets a long run. They say, how that happened? My goodness, look at that hole in there. Well, the hole was there because the guy chip blocked and nobody even noticed it. Are you picking it up? Folks, listen, if we ever get to the point where we think we only win the games with big touchdowns, with bootlegs and big bombs, if you think that's the only way we're going to win, if you think we only win the game with half-court shots at the end, if you think we only win the game with grand slam home runs in the last at-bat, you're missing it. That's not the way this battle is played.
Proverbs 6:31, Coach. The Lord gave me that yesterday, man, and boom, is it dropped and playing out. Proverbs 6:31.
Give it to me, Dale. What is it, brother?
Says,
well,
yeah,
I'm driving. So
yeah,
else
I got it. I got it. Proverbs 6:31. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have
talking
to
about a thief.
He may have to give up all the substance of his house.
Amen, brother. Well, Mark, he's been found.
That's the thief.
If the thief be found, he's been found. That thief's been found. Now, listen. John Diamond's going to join us here in a second. He's going to do a tremendous teaching for us. Trust me, he's going to. But I want you to know this. I've been overwhelmed by the number of people who emailed me and told me they were praying for me. I'm just telling you. As you guys know, I don't ask that very often. And I appreciate those of you who've done that. And I've been overwhelmed by the number of people who are going to go with us to Georgia. Georgia is now, hear me, ground zero. Georgia is. Trump's going to win Pennsylvania. He's going to win it. Did you guys see yesterday that Real Clear Politics now pulled back the Biden winning of Pennsylvania? They pulled it back. Real Clear or CNN pulled back Biden winning in Nevada. Folks, listen. Georgia's ground zero. Ground zero. And that's where we're heading. We're heading to the Georgia Guidestones. We're heading to the University of Georgia. We're going to go down there because we are what? We're fire starters. We're going to go down. Actually, we're going to go down and we're going to put out some fires down in Georgia. That's why I'm on the road. I'll be on the road tomorrow. I'll be on the road I'm not going to keep telling you. Hey, listen, I'm throwing this out to stream of consciousness here. Stay with me. I'm going to D.C. on Saturday. Anybody wants to go to D.C., I'm getting back home on Thursday. I'm going to head to D.C. They're having a huge, huge. We know that Alex Jones is doing a Trump caravan. I understand that. But there's also a huge rally in Washington, D.C. on get my brain working here, Saturday. I think it's at noon. Mike and Polly, check that out. Figure out when that's going on. Hey, folks, I'm juggling a lot of balls in the air, okay? Bear with me. Bear with me. And I got a lot going on. I'm just trying to get a lot going. We're doing the best we can, okay? Doing the best we can. And just so you all know, I think it's important to know. Mike, Polly, they're doing a lot of stuff. They're not king and queen of Past Assault Ministries, okay? They're not king and queen. In fact, they're doing a lot of volunteer stuff. In fact, a lot of the stuff that Mike and Polly are doing, I'm contracted with Jared, their dad, their son. Jared pays them. Are you guys listening to me? Listen. Don't call Mike Heath. Mike Heath, Mike's helping. He's just like you. He's got a skill set. Polly's got a skill set, and she's helping. You want to help? You can help. You want to make some phone calls? You can make some phone calls. Why do I have to make the phone? Anyway, I got to get that out there, okay? If you guys think that Coach Dave Live, Past Assault Ministries, what we're doing, that some of us are huddling in a room and then coming out with plays. No, sorry. By the way, you're going to want to be tuning in tomorrow morning. We're going to probably – I'm banned on Facebook. So I can't do Facebook Lives. And I have to talk to Jared about whether or not we can – Jared, I'm popping this on you right now. Mike, I'm popping this on you right now. Maybe we can do a huddle. We're probably going to – in order to get it out, we're probably going to have to do a huddle at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock tomorrow when we're in Georgia in order for people – maybe I can't Facebook. I can't stream it on Facebook. I can't. So we're going to try to figure out how we can do that tomorrow so you guys can all watch what's going on. And you're not going to believe what Dale Socia – whoa! I'm holding my phone. What Dale Socia has planned. Hey, Dale, don't let the cat out of the bag. But folks, here's what you're going to see tomorrow. You're going to see – those of you who are coming, you're going to see a veteran, anointed street preacher at work through Dale Socia tomorrow. I'm so excited he's coming. This guy's been through the wars. He knows what's going on. We're going to the high places. We're going to tear the devil's kingdom down. And I believe that we are, thank you, Lord. We're a SWAT team. We are the first ones on the beach. Sometimes they don't even know we're there. Sometimes we get in there and we plant the landmines that other people don't even know. And I'm going to tell you this. I wish a million people would come, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we have a million. I know this. I know that we have the anointing of the Lord, and we'll get in there and we'll set the booby traps and we'll set the landmines, and we'll do what it is. And then we'll give the Lord the opportunity to bless our action, because don't ever forget this. I don't care how much faith you have. The Bible tells us that if you have faith, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. Not doubt in your heart that you shall have whatsoever you saith. But listen, friends, that mountain's got to be moved. It don't just, listen, if you think everything God does is a miracle, well, you're going to be sitting around a long time waiting. God moves through people. God honors and blesses action. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? If that's not true, if you want to sit around and you want to cry for blessings and Lord, bless our family, and Lord, thank you, Lord, for your provision, then do me a favor. Stop working and see how much money you have. Stop shopping and see how much food you have. It doesn't matter whether or not the Lord has provided it for you. If you don't go get it, you're not going to have it. Somebody say amen, because I'm all over it today. I'm all over it.
Yep, amen.
Amen.
And so amen.
Amen.
So we just sit around all want to and pray, Lord, do this. Oh, Lord, do this. Oh, Lord, do this. And he says, dude, I'm sitting here. Somebody make a play. Give me something I can work with here, will you? Give me some action. Give me some faith. Give me something tangible I can grab and work with. That's what the Holy Spirit's saying to us. And no, I will not stop yelling. Yes.
Hey, Coach. Hey, you know, you were talking about people sitting around praying, you know, oh, Lord, do this, do my situation, do my family, this and everything. All that is, you know, it's great that you want God to be your covering and all that. But when you learn to pray the way Jesus taught us to, you're not only praying for yourself and selfishly, you are praying for every member and body of Christ for the same things you're praying for yourself. And that is God's will.
But Larry, we have to go. No, I'm not going to stop yelling. We have to go.
Hey, amen. We've got to go.
We've got to go. Go
prayer
ye.
Without,
and
prayer all without feet is useless.
Go ye. Go ye. Faith without works. Go. 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 I feel like a cheerleader. Go. Do.
Coach.
Speak.
Yes. Coach, when we pray for God to do something, that's a dangerous thing to be on, because we love it when God blesses big, but if we want God to do something when it's unrighteous in the land, he's normally pretty heavy-handed about it. Just ask King David when he told him, don't count your men, David.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because listen, folks, my Bible says, look not at things that can be seen, because things that can be seen are temporary or subject to change. But look at things that cannot be seen. Because the things that cannot be seen, those things are eternal. Now,
how
I'm going to say
this. God? I'm sorry, Coach.
Go ahead.
How about this?
Go ahead.
Don't ask God to do something that he has told you to do.
Amen, brother. Amen. 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 Now, boys and girls, the momentum is swinging. Hear me. Before I get John Diamond in here, I'm sorry, John. Listen, the left, listen to me. The left knows they lost. The left's intention was never to win. The left's intention was chaos. The left's intention is to make everybody not trust our institutions, to destroy America from the inside out. The media was part of it. The media told us Joe Biden was up 10 points, 12 points, 15 points, so that when this mess that they're going through right now, when it eventually happens, the mess, see, they're going to say, they've been telling us Trump was going to steal it. Remember, he's not going to leave office, right? They said all that. They said, you know, that he would be ahead. Trump would be ahead until all the other votes came. They told us all that stuff. They set the whole thing up. They said he's not going to leave office, yada, yada, yada. So they've already set up the narrative because they don't care who's in the White House. They are after chaos, folks. They're after chaos. They're after the destruction of of everything American. They want to destroy not only our governmental system. They want to destroy our confidence in our elections. They are hell bent on chaos in America. Listen, Trump's going to be president, and they're going to raise hell. Why are they going to raise hell? Because they told us for how long that Biden was up 10 points. And they told us that somehow Trump is going to cheat. Better watch out. Biden's up 10 points. Trump's going to cheat. He's not going to leave office. They set that all up. And when they get through with this whole mess, Donald Trump will be president of the United States, and the left will be absolutely out of their mind. Anybody disagree with that? That's where this whole thing's gone. Joe Biden will never be president, folks. He isn't going to be president. People know he didn't win. 70 million. And are you watching how they still continue on the media, Fox News? I don't watch them. You notice how they're saying the American people, 70 freaking million people voted for Donald Trump. They're acting like we're some little tiny minority here. You get it? You get the game they're playing? Don't be deceived. Come on in, whoever that was I walked on. I apologize.
Now, I was just going to say, Coach, you know what they wasn't counting on? They wasn't counting on 33 people to be at Biden's and Obama's and Bill Barr's house.
That's right.
And they wasn't counting on this trip to the Guidestones either. So
that's right. A lot of
stuff they're not counting on.
Clay, let me tell you this, folks. They cheated so much. They cheated so much before the election, we'll never even understand it. But Trump voters turned out in such great numbers that when the actual numbers began to come in, the cheaters realized something. They hadn't cheated enough. So they called a halt to all the ballot counting, right? Right? And what'd they do? They went out and got a bunch more. Because they hadn't cheated enough. They still haven't counted. Yeah, come on in.
Are you sure? Because all six cars that went to Biden's rally voted.
They must have had carload, Mark. Must have been a carload.
Must have been.
Right, right. And so, again, listen, they're not going to be able to hold it off. Trump's going to be elected. But, folks, the chaos that they've already created is going to be crazy. So here's the plan, and I'm going to turn over to John Diamond because John's got a lot more sensible stuff to say than me.
John Diamond yells too, Coach.
Yeah, but he doesn't yell like me. Hey, Joseph, tell him turn it off. They don't like it. Tell him turn it off. Go sit in there. Go sit in a little quiet little church here if they want to do that. We're at war here. I got my war gear on. I'm fighting. Listen, I'm becoming repetitive now. Send those cards to Christine. Please tell your friends to do it. Send those cards to Christine. Please continue to read your imprecatory psalm. In fact, let's do that right now. I don't have the list of my imprecatory psalms in front of me. Somebody who does, call out one and let's read it. John, I'm going to get you in here, I promise.
Psalm 2 to start.
Now, we read 2, 3, and 5, I think, yesterday, didn't we? What's next on the list?
11.
11.
7 and 10.
10 and 11? Is that two of them?
I'm sorry, 6 and 10.
I got the list. Mark, are you guessing or do you have a list in front
of
you?
No, I got a list.
I got 6, Coach.
Okay, let's do it, Glenn. Let's go ahead, man. Give us, I don't know, I can't see the screen to see if Mike's got it up there. So, listen.
War is loud.
Let's give up. We're going to do 6. What's the next one so Mike can get ready then? 6.
Then 10.
6, 10.
Then 11.
Okay, 6, 10, and 11 today, Mike.
It's I got 11, Coach. Myra Schneider.
Okay, Myra, you got 11.
Yes.
Who's got 10? It doesn't matter. We'll find one. Go ahead. Number 6, Psalm 6. Go ahead and read that, brother.
Oh, okay. I had it up on the screen here. O Lord, rebuking that in this in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in the death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning all night. I make my bed swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity.
Yes,
for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly.
Amen, Glenn. Amen. Get them, Lord. Sick them, Lord. Psalm 10. Somebody read Psalm 10. Get it up there for us, Mike, if you can. Psalm 10. And somebody just said, I'll read it, Coach. I'll read it.
I got it.
Go for it, man.
I got it. Psalm 10. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor.
Yes.
Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined.
Yeah, Lord, take them, Lord.
For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth.
Mm-hmm.
The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts.
No, sir.
His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them.
Thank you, Lord. Puff at them, Lord.
He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud.
Liars, Lord. They're all liars.
Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent.
Yes, they do. Wow! Stop him, Lord.
His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net.
Yes, Lord, he do.
He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble.
Yes, Lord.
Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless.
Yes,
break
Lord.
Thou the arm of the wicked and the evil
break
man.
Break that arm, Lord.
Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. To judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that
yes,
the man
Lord.
Of the earth may no more oppress.
Amen, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, ask you right now, touch Mark Mattingly. I don't know where he is, Lord, in regards to his job and to his health, Lord. But I pray right now that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon him and his family, that there shall not be room enough to contain. We ask you to do it and believe you to do it in Jesus' name. Myra, number 11.
Amen.
Yes, happy to. In the Lord put I my trust.
Yes.
How say ye to my soul, free as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string.
Take that again, Myra. You mean the wicked are getting their bows ready? They're putting a string on it? They're going to put an arrow? The wicked are doing that, Myra? Is that what it said? Keep on going.
and they may privately shoot at the upright in heart.
Privately. That means where you can't see him, Myra. The enemy's working where we can't see it, and we think he thinks he's getting away with it. Go ahead.
Yes. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
We can go down to Georgia. The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for something to steal. Go ahead.
The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men.
Mm.
The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth.
What? Who? Hateth. Wait a minute. Myra, read that again. The Lord hates somebody? That can't be right. Read that again, Myra.
Sure. Let me move it up. Where was it? Okay, let me go to my own computer.
I'm sorry, Myra. I didn't mean to put you in a...
No. I am more than happy. I just gotta find it. Which verse was 7?
Five.
Okay. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth balance, his soul hateth.
Well, there it is. I thought God loves everybody. Go ahead.
Upon the wicked he shall rain snares.
Yes, he will.
Brimstone and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Mm. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness.
Yes, he does.
His countenance doth behold the upright.
Amen. So, folks, he's going to tear some kingdoms down. The devil went down to Georgia because he was looking for an election to steal, right? We're going to meet him down there. And then we're going to watch the Lord do something miraculous. We're going to do a chip block that nobody's going to even notice that we're doing. And all of a sudden, things are going to begin to happen. So, am I in trouble here? Hang on.
Are you recording the girls, sir?
No, I'm doing a live broadcast.
Okay. Can you do me a favor?
Sure.
Our girls are really uncomfortable.
No, I'm not. Look, it's on me.
Okay.
It's me.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just pulled here so I could get some good internet.
Okay. All right,
because
they feel uncomfortable like you were.
I'm sorry. They think I'm some pervert. Only in America, right? They think I'm some pervert recording the girls. I know you didn't. There's so many cars coming by here, I couldn't get in it.
Biden went down to Georgia because he was looking for an election to steal. He was way behind.
Only in America, they think I'm filming people in the McDonald's drive-thru. Oh, Lord help. Okay, that's right. Biden was looking for election. Okay. Catch my breath here. All right, John Diamond. I'm looking in the McDonald's clock at 7:30. Oh, she didn't have her mask on when she spoke to me. I'm offended. Go ahead, John Diamond. Come on in here. I think he's here, isn't he?
Yeah, I had to move my mouse around to try to find my little microphone button there.
Okay.
Can you hear me good?
Yeah, I'll be hearing you good. I'll probably have the police rolling up on me. They're going to cuff. Recording girls at the McDonald's drive-thru.
Hey, Mike. Mike, I did two things. We're going to throw a little curve at it this morning. Since we're still on imprecatory prayer, I want to I've been teaching this for several weeks at my church. This thing is so deep. It's not even funny. And we're just going to continue on this just since we're still dealing with this morning. The lesson I had like 59 slides. There's no way we'll get through something like that. Mike, did you get the email I just sent here? I just got three scriptures that I want to bring up about imprecatory prayer. Luke 18. And one of the things I saw in the chat. You got it? Awesome. And I'm just going to read these three scriptures here and talk about them a little bit. This is what I just talked about last Sunday at my church. One of the things that I saw in the chat.
Listen. John, I got to say this. I just heard a prompting of the Holy Spirit. Folks, we say things that we don't even know we say. Okay? So I'm just, this John, don't take this personally. Don't anybody take this personally. I heard this from the Holy Spirit. John, it's not your church. It's our church. It's our church. Our folks, words matter. Words matter. I never forget, as a young football coach, I was talking about, I wasn't head coach. I was the assistant coach. And I was having a conversation with our head coach, and I kept saying, my defensive backs, because that's what I was coaching, defensive backs. My defensive backs, my what, and I'll never forget. He reached across the table, and he grabbed my hand. He says, hey, Dobby. That's what they call me. Hey, Dobby, they ain't yours. You with me? Folks, we all have to check our, we all have to check what we say, because we just repeat things without saying, John, I'm not scolding you. Please understand. It's our church. So it happened at your, our church, our church, our church.
Well, Coach, I'd hate to correct you too, but it's his church.
Well, whatever. Whatever. But it ain't mine. It ain't mine. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
No, absolutely. I agree. Absolutely. Christ is certainly the head of the church. Right. Yeah.
So I didn't mean it to scold you.
I know you didn't.
We're all guilty of that. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know I got thick skin. I don't get offended very easily.
That's why I knew I could say it.
Yeah, that's not a problem whatsoever. I have no problem being corrected. Anybody who doesn't, you better take a good check, because the Holy Spirit's correcting you every time you think and every time you open your mouth. So if you're not willing to be corrected by people who love you, you're never going to stand against the enemy.
That's right. Go ahead, man. We're wasting time here. Go ahead.
All right. Hey, so when we talked about this the other day, I saw somebody, and I may have just misinterpreted what they said, but I hear this a lot. When I talk about imprecatory prayers is, well, that was the Old Testament. And we, for whatever reason in Christianity, we think there's this great disconnect between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And one of and we talked about that when we talked about not under the law, but under grace. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If there's a change between the Old Testament and the New Testament, you better have a very, very clear theological mandate to disregard something in the Old Testament. Now, we can do that with sacrifices. We can do that with circumcision. We can do that with the observing of feast days. There's a lot of things that are very clear that when we transition from Old Testament to New Testament, that some things were left behind, so to speak. But God's moral law was not one of those. And that's what we covered in that one teaching. Now, one of the things that we have to make clear, and this is what I want to prove to you today, has imprecatory prayer, was that basically just an Old Testament thing, or is this something that still applies to us under the New Testament? That way we can just eliminate anybody, or because I know the devil's in people's ears going, oh, that's Old Testament. That's not modern day Christianity. You know, if you love people, you're not going to pray these things. I'm going to show you in three different places in the New Testament, starting with Christ's own teaching that he taught that we are still to be praying in imprecatory prayer. So the first one, we're going to look at the parable of the persistent widow, and that's over in Luke. Now, when we hear this, a lot of times we just hear people say, well, this is just about persistent prayer. Well, it is. But what are they praying to the people about? What is this widow praying? First off, you understand that she's going to court. She's going into a courtroom because some evil person is doing something against her. They're not calling her names. You know, they're not making fun of her hairdo. This person is actually committing a crime. That's the only way that you can go into a courtroom. And this is what people have to understand. A judge, think about this in America. A judge does not have the ability to come out of his bench and go and just right wrongs in the society. A judge has to be petitioned. You have to come into the courtroom, file a petition saying this is what Trump just done with the election. You have to go into the court system and file a court case if you are being wronged, and then the judge will rule on that.
John, great point. The Supreme Court is not going to just step in to the selection thing. They have to be invited in.
Correct. And that's absolute judicial precedent. That's what the imprecatory prayers are all about. Are you basically petitioning the higher court, the Supreme Court of heaven, the Supreme Judge of the universe, petitioning him when wicked people are doing things to you? So we're not supposed to get vengeance ourselves, but that does not mean that we're not supposed to seek justice. So let's look at what Jesus taught here in the story of the parable of the persistent widow. He said, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God or regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. So someone was doing something to this widow, and she had nobody to defend her. It says, and he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because the widow troubles me, I will avenge her. Look at the word. I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming to me, she wearies me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. All right. Now listen to what God said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he find anybody who is going to continually, persistently come to him praying that God would avenge us against the wicked people that are on this earth? All right? Amen. That is an imprecatory prayer.
Gotcha, man.
All right. Now, what I'm teaching in my class, I'm teaching Revelation. So I'm kind of teaching them both at the same time. I'm teaching imprecatory prayer because of what's going on in this nation, but I'm also teaching it from an end times perspective that, you know, most of us believe we're pretty close to the end. I mean, nobody's setting dates or anything, but that's what Jesus is talking about here. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find anybody appealing to the Supreme Judge to be delivered from these wicked people? All right. So let's go over to Revelation 6, Mike. Now, if praying imprecatory prayers is wrong, what's getting ready to happen right here in heaven is going to be wrong. So here it says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw them under the altar of the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God and the testimony in which they held. Okay, these are believers who are just testifying to God, his existence, his righteousness. There's right and wrong. They're speaking against abortion. They're speaking against gay marriage. They are slain by the wicked for the word of God and the testimony that they held. And here's what they said. Now, if imprecatory prayer is wrong, the Lord would have rebuked them, but here's what he says. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell upon the earth? And then it says, then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So not only are they crying out for vengeance, I mean, again, it's like somebody murders your daughter and you go into the police or you go into the courtroom and you said, I'm not going to get vengeance. I'm not going to go out and kill this guy, but I'm demanding justice. I'm demanding you go in there and arrest this guy and put him on a court and you sentence him according to his crime. That's all an imprecatory prayer is. And this is what I said at church on Sunday morning. If a man is raping a woman, what are you going to do? Are you just going to sit and pray over him that God changes his heart? Which is what you're hearing from a lot of pulpits. Oh, well, we don't want the government to get involved in any of this. We're just going to pray that God changes his heart. No, you're going to stop the violence. You're going to stop the crime. Whether you do it yourself or you call the police, you are going to intercede. You are going to intercede in that crime. All right. So it's not unchristian to call the police on a rapist.
Oh, somebody needs to go visit. Somebody needs to go visit Bill Barr.
Go ahead.
Exactly. So here's where we're at on the earth, and this kind of goes more with the kind of Revelation teaching that I was teaching. But when you understand God from Genesis on, when God made a covenant with Abraham, he told him he was going to be giving him a land. The land that he was going to give him already had inhabitants in it. But he said this, he said it's going to be another 400 years. He said, because the cup of iniquity is not yet full. In other words, God, there's this cup in heaven that when a nation sins, it's like a drop of blood goes into this cup. And when and that's how long suffering and patient God is. Eventually that cup gets full, and when it does, that's when judgment comes. Amen. All right. So what we are going to see, what we are going to see in the book of Revelation is two things. When the iniquity of this world becomes full, judgment is going to come. But here's another thing that I don't ever hear anybody talk about, because they don't understand that there are wicked people on the earth and we're supposed to be praying in precatory prayer. But when we're praying, there's a bowl up in heaven that we're filling full of prayers. Okay. They call it a censer. A censer was, in the Old Testament, you go back to Leviticus, the censer was a fire pan. It was where they put the incense in to burn. So Christ is not going to return until that is full. That censer is full. And then once it is full, God is going to take that censer and he's going to throw it down on the earth. And when he does, that's when the judgment is going to come. So let's read Revelation 8. So that was the fifth seal that I read you. Now I want to read you the seventh seal. It says, when he opened the seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel having a golden censer, okay, this is that fire pan, come and stood before the altar and was given much incense that he should offer it with what? The prayers of the saints. These are imprecatory prayers. Judge them, Lord. Judge the wickedness on the earth. It says that upon the golden altar was before the throne, and the smoke of incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hands. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth, and there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So our imprecatory prayers are coming before the Supreme Court of Heaven. What you're leading right now, Coach, in assigning all these imprecatory prayers, we are active participants in history. We our prayers are filling up these censers in heaven. And when the number of people that are martyred, because God's got it written down, whether it's 8,000 or 800 million, when the last person that he's got written in that book is martyred and that censer is full of imprecatory prayers, then God is going to say, enough. Now I'm going to come down there and deal with it.
Okay,
that's
folks,
what imprecatory prayers are.
Let me ask you a question here, folks. How many of you are Ohio State Buckeyes fan? You can raise your hand. I am Buckeyes fan. Pick any sport. I don't care. Wherever you are, maybe you're an Oklahoma fan, depending on where you live. I wonder, as you're watching the football, if I'm watching Ohio State and Michigan, am I praying for Michigan to score touchdowns? Or am I hoping they throw interceptions? Am I hoping they fumble? Am I hoping they miss tackles? Why? Because my team, the Buckeyes, are at war. I want the other team to make mistakes. I want them to make mistakes so the Buckeyes can run over the top of them. Can somebody explain to me why that wouldn't be true in the spiritual realm as well? Why do we think that it's un-Christian to pray calamity upon our opponents? Come on, man.
That's the entire
Joe Biden. Come on, man.
Come on.
I hope Michigan fumbles. I hope they throw an interception. I hope their linebacker falls down. Are you with me? Go ahead, man. Come on in.
Yeah, I just want to say that those are the type of prayers we pray when I'm outside of Planned Parenthood, that we pray things like there'll be a power failure or a water line will burst or something will happen that will just disrupt anyone from having an abortion.
Well, Gary, you must not love those people in there. Don't you just Gary, just pray they get saved, Gary.
Yeah, yes, I do. I just have the warm fuzzies over it.
Okay.
Hey, Coach, the concept that you were talking about earlier when you interrupted John, you bad boy, about the words. Words have meaning. As I was listening to John and the whole concept of what he's talking about the argument against imprecatory prayer really comes from the dumbing down of our vocabulary, because we have learned that all people are good. See, everyone's good. See, the inherently good people wouldn't do that, and so we don't need that. So we've lost this concept of evil. We've dumbed down the concept that there are good people and bad people. Instead, we have this, and people are inherently good, and if you pray for that rapist, he will probably stop.
Yeah.
He will lay down his gun. If you're being home invasion, just pray for him. and tell them to stop and tell them that that's not, they're not allowed to do that. It's because we believe in the inherent good instead of the inherent evil.
That's
We've
right, brother.
We flipped everything well, around. Words,
well said.
Words.
Well said, Jack. Words matter. Well said. Well said. Somebody else. Come on in.
Hey, Coach and John. I was talking to my daughter a couple of days ago, and she said that, you know, what we're doing, she didn't criticize it like getting on to us, but she don't understand what we're talking about right here. And she's a believer of the New Testament, turn the other cheek, God will handle everything. And so what's on my heart is God works through people to provide people blessings. They're not all miraculous healings. Sometimes it's changing a tire. Sometimes it's, you know, they're just name, you're giving people money. There's so many things. So blessings work through people. Now, wouldn't also the fight work through people? You know, if God's going to work, he provides blessings through us. So
yeah,
he's
also like,
got,
it's
like he's also got to have us attack.
It's like he want, it's like we want God to move and take our own action out of the equation. That I'm sorry, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live like that, right? I want to go do something that will give God a smile on his face and let him bless what I do. Folks, if he said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, go. I mean, I'm with you always. Go. We read yesterday, I'm with you to deliver you. I'm with you to deliver you. What does it mean to deliver you? Well, evidently, you're going into some place that's kind of dangerous. He says, don't be worried about that. I'm with you to deliver you. Is it just going to supernaturally happen? No. He may say, send Clay to save me. He may send Mark Trump to save me. He may send Randy to save me. But if I go, he's obligated to deliver me. Don't come on, man. He works
hey,
through
Coach,
people. Yeah.
I just got it. I'm just stunned. If we're not supposed to do anything, if we're supposed to just pray, why do they pass the offering plate?
Amen, brother.
That's right. Yeah,
just pray, and God will fill the checking account. You don't have to bless anybody. There doesn't have to be a missionary offering. There doesn't have to be a church offering. We don't have to have a building fund. Just pray; it gets filled, right?
Oh, okay.
Don't
so Jack,
go. Just pray.
Listen to this one, Jack, as we've been organizing these little tours, these little equal justice tours. I fight all the time with Gary and the crew, just trying to figure out with Jared, should we charge something here? Should we charge something? And I said, man, I don't want to, you know, I feel like I'm always asking for money. I don't want to charge anything. I don't want to charge anything. And Gary, you know what Gary told me? He says, Coach, if they don't have any skin in the game, it don't mean anything to them. You got to charge. You got to charge them. If you charge them, then they feel like they've made a commitment to do it. Isn't
okay,
that
on
so
the political
Jesus?
Side, Coach, put it on the political side. That's why electors are supposed to be property owners, so they have skin in the game. So
right.
You're paying attention to how you're being blessed or screwed.
That's right. That's
Jesus
right.
said. Jesus said, "Where a man's treasure is." There his heart is also.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 John, because, I didn't mean to cut you off there, John. Go ahead. Yeah, come on in, Craig.
Just one quick thing here. When Jesus presented himself to Jerusalem to be accepted as a king in Luke 13:34, he said, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to her. How often right. I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." We are not willing to let this evil stand by and not say anything, nor try to expose it and petition the Lord.
I wanted to do it, but you wouldn't do it. Right? Isn't that what he's saying there? How I longed to gather you. But you wouldn't do it. I wanted to do it, but you wouldn't do it.
They weren't willing.
They weren't
and it's
willing.
All about will. It's all about will, Coach. It's about our free will to follow the Lord or to follow the devil. You have two choices. It's black and white. Pick which side you want. Just like Elijah, you know, said, you know, Pick whose side you want to be on, this side or that side.
Amen. Amen. John, I feel like I cut you off here, brother. I didn't mean to come on back in here.
No, this is all great conversation. And again, when we are force-fed the love, grace, and mercy of God 24/7, 365, we do not see the other side of it. And this is what Clay was talking about here. Over in Romans, it says, consider therefore the kindness and severity of God. Kindness on the on you, but severity if you depart from the faith. We have to have a balanced understanding of who God is. It's not all about love, grace, mercy, because then you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, and God's not even looking at your evil. We can't do that. Now, think about this for a minute. When we talk about, God just on his army, or did he say destroy him? Right? When Daniel was conspired against and they threw him in the lion's den, what happened to them? They got thrown in the lion's den with their entire families. Was Daniel up there going, oh Lord, forgive them? No, they dug the pit. They threw the righteous in and God's justice turned the tables on them. Mm-hmm. They determined their own justice. We don't avenge ourselves because we can't see things like God sees them, but God sees everything. And what God will do is he will repay them according what they determined to do to the righteous. So when Pharaoh God would have just been perfectly happy just to let Pharaoh, let my people go. We'll call it a wash. It's all good. But no, I'm going to go after him. I'm going to kill him. Okay. Well, you just picked your own switch. Now, the judgment that you picked for the righteous is going to be weighed out on your head. That's what happened. That's what happened with the people that conspired against Daniel. All right. Their entire families got thrown into the lion's den. You think about Mordecai and Esther. Hagar, the evil, wicked Hagar, conspired to have all of God's people killed, and God turned it around, so he was the one hanging on the cross, on the gallows. Mm. Esther didn't say, oh, forgive him, just let him keep doing it. No, she said, there's the gallows.
By the way, John, boy, we only got like 5 minutes left here. Did anybody notice? Anybody notice that Joe Biden is calling for peace now? Anybody notice that? And so, yeah. So Christians, is that what we're supposed to do now? Oh, we cheated, yeah. That's all right. Let's all love each other and hug each other. Hey, folks, this is the exact same. This is the misteaching in the church. I'm going to tell you something. Joe Biden is an enemy of the cross.
Amen.
He's an enemy of the cross, my friends. Straight Kamala up. Harris is an enemy of the cross. And I will not pray that the enemies of the cross are successful. And so you said, well, we're supposed to pray for those in authority. Yeah, pray that he gets saved. Pray that his mind works. But also pray in precatory psalms that he fails at what he does if it's against the Lord. Why would you pray for a man to do evil?
Amen.
Come on, church.
Amen. Let me just say this. You get what you deserve. That's exactly what John just said. You get what you deserve.
That's right. You get what you deserve from the Lord, too. Thank God for his grace and his mercy that we don't. Let me recap here, John. I'm about out of time. I got them all nervous. No cops came after me yet. Listen, mail those postcards. Mike, is there a way that you, real quickly, that you can throw that back up on the screen, that address? Okay, folks, come on. Listen, I think this is so critical. It's so critical. I believe that the Lord has moved the heart of Bill Barr. I believe the Lord has moved it. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but just pray. Send those cards. Pray those imprecatory psalms. And let's continue to fight. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the what? To the pulling down of strongholds. Let's be faithful to do that, to pull down those strongholds and do our part and give God an opportunity to do what he wants to do in us and through us. I believe the enemy has so overplayed their hand. And what psalm is it that says, I don't know, it's off the top of my head, it's one of them imprecatory psalms, that those who dig a ditch fall back in it. Lord, I believe they have dug such a huge, huge ditch.
35.
They dig a ditch and they fall back in it. And you know what? I'm praying they fall in it. I'm praying. Did you hear me again? I'm praying they fall in it. Those who are against Christ, I pray they fall into the hole they dug. That's my prayer. That's my, when I pray for my our leaders and our positions of authority, that's what I'm praying. I'm praying that the righteous be exalted and the evil be punished. That's what I'm praying. I don't know what you guys, but I'll be daggone if I'm praying for the other team. I'm not going to pray for the other team that they'll be successful. I'm not going to pray that communism will be successful. I'm not going to pray that more babies get killed. I'm not going to pray that marriage gets destroyed. I'm not going to pray that they're going to teach homosexuality a little. I'm not going to pray that.
Amen. Hey, amen. Amen.
So, you know, Jesus in John 17 says he does not pray for the world.
Coach, 21 years of law enforcement, criminals always get caught.
They always get caught. They always get caught, man. They always get caught. Is it 8 o'clock? I can't even see the clock. John, you anything to wrap it up here, man? Okay, good. Five minutes. Come on in here.
Hey, and then here's what it is, and you, everyone should have this or have an email of it because I sent you the two chapters of the book. But there's an actual prayer that I'm trying to get every appealingtoheaven.org. You can go there and download the prayer card. But on the back of the prayer card is a prayer. And what I did, the Holy Spirit led me to different places in Scripture, and I pulled out little segments of imprecatory prayers instead of, you know, I mean, we can pray all of them, that's fine, but I wanted to hit the core of it. So the imprecatory prayer that I have as the prayer card is exactly, every word of this is from Scripture. Let me just read it because it's very small. Vindicate us, O Lord, and plead our cause against an ungodly nation. Okay? Mm-hmm. That comes right from the imprecatory prayers. Get justice for us from our adversaries. That's what the parable of the persistent widow. That's what she prayed. That's what Jesus told us to pray. Get justice for us from our adversaries. Deliver us from deceitful and unjust men. Here's what Coach just said. Cause them to fall into the pit that they have dug for the righteous. I got a whole section on poetic justice. And poetic justice is basically when somebody plans to do something against you, God turns it and it happens on them. That's what happened to Pharaoh. That's what happened to Daniel's conspirators. That's what happened to Hagar. The things that they planned was turned around on their head, and they basically picked their own judgment. And then it says this, grant your servants that we may speak your word with all boldness. That came right out of the upper room prayer in Acts chapter 4. And then give us the nations for our inheritance and the ends of the earth for our possession. That comes from Psalms 2. When your government rebels against God and the kings of the earth cut those bonds and said, we're no longer going to submit to the higher authority. Here's what we're told to pray. Give us the nations for our inheritance and the ends of the earth for our possession. God is raising up a people to rule and reign with Christ during the millennium. And that this is what it's going to take for that to happen.
Amen. Amen. John, let me wrap up here real quick. Mike, Jared, can we do tomorrow? I want to do the 7 o'clock show. Can we do a brief 20 minutes at 9 o'clock and a brief 20 minutes or so at 11 o'clock? Can we do that? Because I don't know any other way that we can get a live broadcast out of what we're doing. Cool. All right, folks, we'll talk more about it in the morning. We are heading tomorrow to the Georgia Guidestones. It's a high place. We're going up to the high places. We'll tear the kingdom, devil's kingdom down. This isn't for everybody. This is a SWAT team. This is a spiritual weapons and tactics team. We are the ones that are going to get on the beach, and we're going to set the dynamite charges. We're going to set the landmines, the trip wires of the devil, figuratively, spiritually speaking, folks. We're not going to do any violence to anybody. We're not going to do anything of that. We're going to do violence to the kingdom of the devil. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do violence to him, and we're going to tear kingdoms down and give God an opportunity to exalt righteousness in this land. That's what we're about. That's what we're going to do. We covet your prayers. Somebody got a call last night. Coach, can we send a donation? Of course you can. Of course you can. What are you going to do with it? Spend it. We're going to spend it. That's what we're going to do. So if you want to help us, you can do that at Coach Dave Live. Facebook.com as well. A lot going on. Hey, we need everybody. We need everybody in this game. If you're a prayer warrior, get praying. If you're a prophet, get prophesying. Whatever it is. Whatever it is the Lord has gifted you to do. We need it in this end time battle that we're in now. God bless you, John. Great job as always. I will not root for Michigan. See you tomorrow.
Amen.